The fall of the Roman Republic, 121 BC to 59 BC. Sulla and the provinces, and the death of Sulla. Now, Sulla's last task was regularizing provincial administration and providing that governors should never again pose to the Roman Senate the same dangers that Sulla himself had posed. Sulla proposed an arrangement whereby the 8 praetors and 2 consuls annually elected should spend their 1-year terms carrying out administrative duties in Italy. Prorogation, however, should become a regular part of the official career. In other words, a pro-praetor and a pro-consul, last year's praetor. That's what pro means. The praetors and consuls should spend the year after they held office in Italy as pro-magistrates governing the provinces. Though military command was not forbidden during the first year of office, it would seldom be necessary for a magistrate to command an army in now unified Italy. To ensure the elimination of armies from Italy, Cisalpine Gaul was organized as a regular province. About this time, the Rubicon River was set as Italy's northern boundary. While Cisalpine Gaul was now highly Latinized, a military force was still needed there to deal with the occasional attacks on the plains by the still wild mountain tribesmen. There were now 10 Roman provinces: Sicily, Sardinia, Corsica, Hither Hispania, Farther Hispania, Macedonia, Africa, Asia, the province, not the continent, Gallia Narbonensis, Sicilia, and Cisalpine Gaul. And the 8 praetors and 2 consuls would suffice as regular administration of these areas. Now the Sullan plan wasn't rigid, so that magisterial terms could be extended longer than 2 years if death created vacancies that regular elections wouldn't fill. It was left to the Senate to decide which provinces were consular and which were praetorian, or for the praetors, and it could then reward the most obedient magistrates with the most desirable overseas assignments. This is one of the things that happens to Caesar after he does his first tour as consul. He is so disliked by members of the Senate that instead of giving him a regular province, they made one up and put him in charge of the roads and alleys and byways of Rome. A little extra slap. So if you couldn't be tossed into a terrible province, they made a bad one up for you. Now let's look at the treason law. Sulla's new treason law, which gave further control over the provincial governors, was watched over by a special court. This court was designed to arraign governors that, first of all, began unauthorized conflicts. How dare you start a war without authorization? Number 2, those that didn't leave their provinces within 30 days after the arrival of their successors. And 3rd, those that crossed their provincial boundaries under arms. Of course, this is Caesar in 49 BC when he crosses the Rubicon. Such was the Sullan reconstruction of Rome. You could say he used tyrannical methods to avoid a tyranny, for he realized that the country was not yet emotionally ready to accept an undistinguished autocratic government. He idealized the past as much as Tiberius Gracchus, and he tried to restore a government that would emulate the revered early Roman model, Republic model. But his decision ignored the irreversibility of human experience. To stand the slightest chance of success, such an idealistic project required capable and dedicated citizens, lieutenants, followers, and successors. The degrading effects of the 2 generations since the Gracchi had trained very few such men. There's an old discussion that whenever you change the government of a country, that new government is never safe until everybody who can remember the past government have died off. So it's very important to have people who follow you do the same thing and the same thing and the same thing. Sulla's not going to be that lucky. Now, Sulla had been forced to turn to his aides, not to confirmed or diehard oligarchs, but largely to men that might be considered moderates, some of them even surviving on the other side. Their past training, past attacks on established government, would make it easy for them to subvert Sulla's constitution, and his lieutenants Crassus and Pompey would certainly show us how to do that. It is also true that the Sullan reorganization had certain bad features. First of all, it displaced competent farmers with indifferent ones, which is just what Sulla's confiscations did in Italy. It's a nice thing to tell your troops, I'm going to give you land, then take farmland, give it to the soldiers, but they were soldiers. They're not farmers. They may find out that it's too hard to work, it's not, and a lot of them become dissatisfied with it. Second, the suppression of the censorship would have meant chaos in the assemblies sooner or later. Third, the elimination of the censors' additions to the Senate meant that older men that had proved their competence in other fields other than politics could not now be elected to that body. Well, the world was surprised and actually applauded when in 79 BC, Sulla resigned all of his powers and stood without guards or attendants as a private citizen in the Roman Forum. He said he held himself accountable for his acts as a magistrate, and he would explain and defend them to any man who might ask. Fortunately, no one did. Sulla Felix, that means Sulla the Blessed, retired to his country estate in Campania, but died a quick and painless death in 78 BC. So Sulla's reign comes to an end, and now we have all the mess that's going to take place getting rid of Sulla's constitution and the Mithridatic War and the war with the Armenians and the conquest of the East. And so this very short period of time where there was some stability, even though it's pretty brutal, pretty draconian, will end pretty quickly. Now, the sources for this, History of Romans by Heckelheim and Yao, Chronicle of the Roman Republic by Matusek, and the History of the Romans by Born. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the souvenirs. And if you like what we're doing, feel free to support us. You can do that with a one-time donation, or you can donate a subscription, a few dollars a month, and would really kind of help us out in our planning. Thank you very much.